Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Commute Podcast. I'm your host, Smata, and I'm coming at you live from my car during my commute. And this is really the most free time I have to record podcasts, and I'm really excited to get to utilize this time. I've been doing it for a while, the commute that is, and aside from listening to podcasts and listening to music, etc., baseball games when they're available on the way home, this is pretty wasted time. So I'm excited to bring this to you guys, and I hope you enjoy. Shout out to Justin Mason for allowing me to try this out. Hopefully it works out, and we'll get more than one episode under our belts. So anyway, just a fair warning, there may be some background noise here, and obviously I'm in a car driving, so I apologize for that, but that will be pretty consistent. Moving forward, there might be honking, hopefully no obscenities. I try and be a little bit of a zen driver. I've been commuting about an hour and a half each way for 5 years now, and pretty much at this point, I'm on just cruise control in my mind, where I just can't allow any of the other cars to bother me, because I'm just going to be a mess for the rest of the day. I'm on my current commute into work right now. It's almost 6 o'clock in the morning, and I am on the 210 headed west out of the Inland Empire, heading into Los Angeles County. I work in the Wilshire area, Miracle Mile. So anyway, let's jump into it. Today I'm going to talk, we're at the All-Star break, and All-Star game was last night. I did get to catch a good amount of that. I think I'd like to say that I don't care about the All-Star game that much, but I think that's actually kind of a lie. I grew up really loving the All-Star game, and well, pretty much loving everything baseball, the awards, the Hall of Fame. So all that stuff surrounding it, I think it's lessened in my baseball value system over the years, but I still get a kick out of it. I still think that there's value to being like, yeah, he made an All-Star team during his career. I'm happy to see some of these older guys like Markakis, Chu on the team, and I know I'm missing a couple others. Side note, I don't have notes in front of me, and I don't, I do have some reference with a phone that I'm hoping not to mess with too much during this, so apologies if I'm missing some things off the top of my head here. But anyway, the All-Star game, enjoyed it, and I'm also one of those guys that baseball is amazing, and those people complaining about the home runs and the strikeouts, you know what? We just had an amazing, exciting All-Star game, the most home runs of any All-Star game. And it's awesome. It was very similar to the World Series, in which, you saw Bregman and Springer go back-to-back off of Ross Stripling, Astros beating up on the Dodgers again. But, you know, all those home runs flying out of the ballpark, it's exciting, and it's fun, and it's fun for fantasy baseball, too. So that's my take on that. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the All-Star game. The Home Run Derby was also exciting. I caught the second round on for that one. So the Harper stuff, him cheating, no take on that. I don't really care. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is really just kind of, we're at that, not halfway point, but the All-Star break. I'm just talking about how I'm managing some of my teams right now. I'm currently in two redrafts and four dynasty leagues. Three of the dynasty leagues are new as of this year. So hoping to go through some of those and just talk about where I'm at in the standings, what my strategy is moving forward, and maybe talk about some players on top of that. So I guess let's just start at the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. I've been pretty involved with that, creating the standings that you can find on Tableau. You can see that either on my Twitter page, which is at @smata_BB, or over at the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational Twitter, which is at TGFBI. And anyway, let's go into where I am in the standings there. So I've definitely been active in this league. This has been a really, really fun league, a really competitive league. And I'm currently in fourth with 103 points. This is a 15-team league. Ahead of me in the standings are Brian Cray of Fake Team, Sammy Reed of Roto Grinders, and Rudd from Baseball HQ. And I'm about 14 points out at this point. I started out really slow. My draft was kind of based around some delayed gratification. I had drafted Acuna. I had drafted Daniel Murphy. Some other injured pitchers that have not panned out to this point in my later rounds. Jimmy Nelson and Danny Salazar. Danny Salazar I've already dropped. I also drafted a couple other minor league players, and I definitely went too heavy on minor league bench players out of the draft. I do think that that contributed to a little bit of my slow start, and I think that had I gone a different direction in some places, maybe the team would be faring a little bit better. But I'd started my draft. I drafted out of the 14th spot and took Corey Kluber in there, and then Carlos Correa fell back to me at pick 17. So I'd really liked my start, and Corey Kluber, especially in the first month, 2 months of the year, very, very solid. And I don't exactly remember the date, but at a certain point, I was last in this league in home runs. And I traded Corey Kluber straight up for J.D. Martinez. It was around the time where J.D. was having sitting out a couple of games due to back issues. But I wasn't super concerned about that, and still I'm not really concerned about J.D. having missing an extended period of time or anything like that. And Corey Kluber, the thing that I mentioned at the time of the trade was that Corey Kluber's an older pitcher. He comes with his own injury risk, even though there's no indication of that at the time, really. Kluber's strikeouts have been down this year, and he's had a couple blow-up starts or shorter outings since I've made that trade. And that trade was to Sammy Reed. He was in desperate need of starting pitching, and I really do think the trade has helped both of us. And that was one where I had looked at the standings, found that trade partner, and decided to make that jump. I was last in home runs, like I mentioned. The counting stats I was actually faring pretty well in, because I had some guys like Nick Markakis on my team, Brian Anderson, who doesn't hit a lot of home runs but has gotten a lot of plate appearances, Jed Lowry, who was a late round draftee. So I had these kind of guys on my team that were really helping pace in those counting stats. So adding JD Martinez really has helped in home runs. I believe I've gained 4 spots in the standings there, but I've also really revolved my fab strategy for hitters around trying to get the mashers, trying to climb those home run standings. So I'm also at this point pretty low on stolen bases. I've picked up Jose Iglesias. I drafted Adalberto Mondesi, but had since dropped him. So I re-picked him up last week. I believe I got a stolen base out of that last week. So, and he's actually added a couple home runs this year. I'm excited to see what Mondesi is going to do rest of the season. That's someone who, if he's available in redraft leagues, I'd for sure scoop him up. I think he's someone who could steal, he could steal 20 bags the rest of the way, add another 5 home runs. So definitely, I mean, that's top-end projection and off the top of my head, but I definitely think he's an interesting add in redrafts. He's definitely already owned in dynasty leagues, but anyway, that's where I'm at right now. And my main focus, again, as I've mentioned, has been trying to accumulate those home runs and trying to accumulate those stolen bases. Those are really my biggest weaknesses. I was also lacking on saves early in the year, and had really focused the rest of my fab on I'm trying to cycle through the closers. I think it's been my biggest weakness to this point. I've missed on a lot of guys, and it's something that I'm trying to improve on, is become a better judge of who's going to stick in certain roles from the get-go and who really has the best opportunity. There's some great guys out there on Twitter that I'm just kind of blanking the names on that monitor that closely, and I think that, you know, this is a conversation that you need to have with yourself to start the year, is do I want to try and chase saves through the draft, or do I want to utilize my FAB budget to try and pick it up throughout the year? Where I'm kind of leaning right now is picking up one really good closer and then making speculative adds later in the draft in situations that are fluid. It is pretty much what I did in this draft. I drafted Doolittle and then three other closers, one of them being Melanson, that didn't turn out to accumulate any saves. I think Hirano was another one, and I can't remember the other guy, but I think that there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to pick up a closer through FAB, and the main issue for me is that every single other team is looking for more saves. No one who has three closers already says, I think I'm good. Like, they're going to, they may not put out the largest bid, but they're going to bid. They're gonna go out and try and add that other closer because it's so fluid. Guys are coming off the shelf. They're getting traded. They're getting injured. It's such a fluid situation that there's a lot of value to having that top-end, reliable guy, the Kimbrels, the Jansons, even though it wasn't so in the beginning. I think that you see that he's now, again, the reliable piece that we expected. I didn't make any of those investments, I don't think, in any of my leagues this year. And it's been tough. It's been a grind trying to find that next closer, and I've whiffed a lot. I've been thankful to kind of hit on Blake Parker. He hasn't been amazing, but he's been serviceable. And then I'm already out of FAB in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. Picked up Hector Rondon, and he's thankfully Ken Giles has been sent down, and so he's now the solidified closer going into the second half of the season. But you know, even when I invested in him there, Ken Giles was still kind of hanging around. They were splitting the role. And though, that's the kind of thing where I'm spending $100+ in FAB on a guy that has a split timeshare in the closer role. And that's the kind of investments you're making throughout the season off the waiver wire in this size league. In a 12-team league, I think this might be a different story. I'm not playing in any 12-teamers this year, but I imagine I've seen some questions come through on Twitter about closing situations, and there were closers on the waiver wire in 12-teamers, so I wouldn't be that concerned. Actually, I'm sorry, I am in a 12-teamer, but it's save plus holds, and that's one of the new dynasty leagues that I'll get to. But anyway, that's kind of where I'm at there. I mean, this is a redraft league, so I'm trying to do everything I can to win. I do think I'm within striking distance, but my team has really got to start running. I've got a lot of guys that can run, just haven't posted up the numbers, really. My two biggest stolen base assets to date have been Christian Yelich and Jose Iglesias, who I haven't received all of his stolen bases because I picked him up mid-season. But Adalberto Mondesi, if he starts running, Acuna, if he starts to accumulate some stolen bases here, that would be huge. And then Manny Margot, I still haven't dropped him. I considered it throughout the season, but he's still got that intriguing 2020 upside that for me has been muted a little bit this year. And he's one of my regrets for sure out of this season. I think that the red flags were there at least for this year, to take pause at his draft draft price at his ADP. So anyway, that's where I'm at there. I don't think I'm going to make any more trades in this league. I'm pretty much set. I just need my guys to perform as they're performing. And hopefully my team stays relatively injury-free in the second half. So moving on to the other redraft league I'm in. It's the Friends with Fantasy Benefits head-to-head staff and listener league. And if you're in that league with me, how's it going? My team name is OOOOtani Auto Parts. I don't have Otani on my team. I know that might be a faux pas to some, but I am an Angels fan, so I'm just going with it. But anyway, in this league, I've definitely had my ups and downs, and it's a head-to-head league, which I've... And I think I mentioned 18 teams as well. It's a larger league. I've had my ups and downs. And it's kind of unfortunate. It's just the nature of head-to-head. The ups have come at times where my team has faced other hot teams. So I think I tweeted it out pretty early in the season, but my roto standings, excuse me, in the head-to-head league, my roto standings in this head-to-head league were first overall through the first 5 weeks, yet I was middle in the pack, about a 500 win percentage in the head-to-head standings, which was roughly 10th. And that kind of shows the variance, especially early in the league, or earlier in the year, with a head-to-head league where, you know, I had probably the best performing team, probably stacked in a couple different weeks, where, you know, if you win home runs, you hit 20 home runs in 1 week and your opposing team hits two, well, you went 18 too high and they just don't even matter. If they had been spread out across the year into different weeks, that would have helped you win home runs in other weeks. Whereas in Roto, obviously, that would have counted to your season-long stats. So, my down weeks have come fairly recently. I've had a couple injuries here. My draft strategy out of this league, because it was 18 teams, I thought it would be pretty difficult to have a well-rounded team. So I punted batting average, or at least attempted to, during the draft. And focus more on home runs, stolen bases. So I, excuse me, drafted Billy Hamilton. I had drafted Trevor Story, and focused more on those type players. Matt Chapman was another one that was an obvious ad. Matt Davidson as well, and he got off to a hot start. Obviously, Davidson. And has very much cooled down. He's now batting .220 with only 14 home runs. So, thankfully, though, my first two were Freddie Freeman and Francisco Lindor, who have put a very, very, very solid season so far. Also have Shin-Soo Chu in that league. And just searching through here, nobody else of note that I haven't mentioned on the offensive side. From the pitching side, my top investment was Robbie Ray, so that's obviously been difficult, but I really stacked those mid-tier pitchers in this league. So Charlie Morton, David Price, excuse me as I scroll a little bit here, and I have Fulte as well, Fulte Nevich, and I think I've dropped my other guys that I drafted, but I also added Chad Green, got Brad Hand, and I'd also had Ozuna out of the closer role. So I had two solid closers in Hand and Ozuna. Obviously, we lost him I dropped him, so I lost him for the remainder of the year. I'm not sure if he's still out there. I'll have to take a look. But with how many bench spots are in this league and it being a daily transaction league, it's just not quite a roster spot that I want to take up until until he gets back. So I've just been really fortunate with my pickups in this league on the pitching side. So Shane Bieber has been good. Freddie Peralta has been good. Ross Stripling has been amazing. Has also picked up Hector Rondon in this league. So I think the pitching is definitely my strength here. I've been cycling out some of the hitters. Again, going with home run upside to try and win the counting stats, and really home runs and counting stats and punting batting average. And that's worked out okay so far. If we just look at the standings here, excuse me while this loads, I believe I'm in 7th out of 18. So I'm right out of the playoffs right now. The top 6 make the playoffs. Excuse me while I get off the freeway. And so ahead of me, Jeremy, Indignant Genuflex, I believe that is Chuck, Jim Bay, Big Fuzzy, I Hate Evan, and John Russell. At John Russell 215, actually. Anyway, I think that there's still a lot of room to move here. Definitely within striking distance. I'm excited for the second half of this one, especially with Robbie Ray back, getting a bit of a much fuller pitching staff, and need to make some moves on the hitting side. I think I'm going to be streaming for stolen bases. Billy Hamilton has been good, but he hasn't been good enough to carry the team. So that's pretty much it there. Those are my two redraft leagues. And I'm going to move on to, excuse me, my only returning dynasty league, which is a 30-team league hosted on CBS. My buddy had me take over a team in this league last year, and it was kind of a mess of a team, but it had a few good assets. So Chris Davis, Brian Dozier, and Chris Sale were the top players on this team. And so it definitely was top-heavy, considering, you know, if you're looking at a 30-teamer and you were to evenly distribute the players, you'd only have one top 30 player. You'd only have one 30 to 60 ranked player, etc. So since then, I've made a lot of moves, and I've put myself in the position to... I was competing last year, but definitely not quite to the point where I was in striking distance of winning the league. This is a head-to-head league. It is not points. It is 10 different categories. I'm not going to go through exactly what they are, but they're really trying to reflect real-life stats as much as possible. So there is like a glove statistic, which is basically putouts and assists. And then there's also like pitchers. It's a little bit different. There's actually pitches per inning, and general wildness, so walks, hit by pitch, etc. Anyway, I've made a lot of moves. This is because it's 30 teams. Trading is pretty much the only way to improve your roster, so I've been fairly active there. And the biggest trade I've made this year, to fill a big hole, Hernan Perez is filling my third base spot for most of the season. I traded Gio Gonzalez for Max Muncy, and then we also traded some minor league parts that I wasn't too concerned about moving. The minor league system in this league, you only have 4 minor league spots, so it's not super deep for being a 30-team league. It is a pretty high replacement level prospect league, so that makes it a little bit easier to, in my mind, I don't mind trading prospects all that much, especially the second tier ones. This is a league to start the year. I had Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. So the big trades that I made, again, I traded Gio Gonzalez for Max Muncy, essentially, and that's been huge, huge, huge for my team. And then I also traded Fernando Tatis Jr. a few weeks back and added Trevor Bauer, Mitch Haniger, and Rich Hill. So between those two trades, I've really, really vaulted up to the point where I'm going to be right there competing for the championship in this league. I've got a playoff spot essentially locked up already, and it's really figuring out at this point who my matchups are going to be against during the playoffs, and if I want to make any trades to bolster my team in the right spots against those guys that I'm going to be playing. So the way it's structured right now, I'm most likely going to be in a wild card spot. I don't see myself gaining enough traction in the standings to move into first place in my division, which is the only way to secure a non-wild card playoff spot for me. The divisions are pretty unweighted at this point. The division I'm in will carry all four wild card teams. So there's only going to be one, most likely, only one from the other division in our conference. So it's a four division league, two conferences. Top team from each division makes the playoffs, and then wild cards for the best record within each conference make it, and then the bottom two in each conference play each other after the first round. So anyway, going back into the team, I don't think I'm going to make... I've considered trading a starting pitcher here. I've been shopping around. I've got Cole Hamels, and I really don't want to have him in a dynasty league anymore. Starting pitching has been a strength. I've already traded away Gio Gonzalez, but obviously I've gotten Trevor Bauer back in another league to essentially replace him. Excuse me. Garbage truck. Yes, you can turn. All right, getting back. in a 30-team league, this is my starting pitching right now. Chris Sale, Mike Foltynewicz, Trevor Bauer, Rich Hill, Ivan Nova, and then on the DL right now, Brandon McCarthy and Jeff Samardzija. I just had Corbin Burns called up to help fill in and bring relief stats in my starting pitching role. This is one of the interesting quirks of this league, is that there are two starting pitcher spots and three relief pitcher spots, and that's it. No open pitching spots. So it's really... Ross Stripling would have been a great pickup to begin with, but so I picked up Stripling mid-year, and obviously that was a huge get, and it would be in any league. But in this one particularly, he has that relief pitcher eligibility where I can slot him in to a relief pitcher spot on the days he's starting, and I can also throw two other starting pitchers if I happen to have them going on that day. So that's something that a lot of teams are hoping that doesn't happen to them, is you have more than two starting pitchers throwing on one day, and none have relief pitcher eligibility. So you have to choose two out of the three, maybe four, even five starters going on that day off your team. So Stripling has been huge, huge, huge. And outside of that, my other relief pitchers are Cody Allen and Josh Hader. Josh Hader. Not going to get into that now. But my God. Anyway, so I'm thinking about trading Cole Hamels. He's the last starting pitcher on my team, essentially. Not counting the injured guys. I pretty much have put them out of my mind at this point. Samardzija is almost droppable. But I paid so much for him at the beginning of the year that I can't drop him quite yet. And I have the DL space. So anyway, I've got a trade on the table right now, which is Cole Hamels for Marwin Gonzalez. And in this league, it's pretty interesting because Marwin has that flexibility. My starting shortstop in this league is Jordy Mercer, and I've been looking for an upgrade all year, but there just hasn't really been a trade partner for me. And I don't know if Marwin Gonzalez is really an upgrade at this point. I don't know what the playing time is going to look like moving forward. But I also really haven't had any offers for Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels could be a guy that is irrelevant next year. I think he's already being close to irrelevant. He's been pitching way over his head versus his peripherals. And, you know, I think I'm kind of leaning towards doing it. But then again, can I get more for Cole Hamels? Marwin Gonzalez could jump back. But, you know, once Correa comes back off the DL, Kyle Tucker has been called up. I mean, he may get sent down because he has kind of been struggling a little bit in his first call-up. But, you know, Tony Kemp's been playing great. I've also got Tony Kemp on this team, so that would help hedge a little bit. I've also got Josh Reddick on this team, so it would kind of fit with team constructs. But there's another team in this league that has... I've got Jock Peterson as one of my center fielders. I traded for Mitch Haniger, who gained center field eligibility. And that's another quirk of this league, is they've got left, right, center instead of outfield spots. So it really focuses in on getting the right players, understanding what their eligibility is even going to be next year, so you're not screwing yourself over in the following year. So Marwin already has secured shortstop eligibility for next year as well. And I think I keep going back and forth. The starting pitching depth with Cole Hamels is nice. I think I've got probably one of the deepest rotations in this league. It's not as top heavy as some of the other guys. There's a team with both Kershaw and Bumgarner. There's a team with Severino and Blanken. Anyway, a lot of two-headed monster teams that are going to be in the playoffs that I'm going to face. So depth is nice. I can win some of those counting stats so long as they don't fall on more than three fall on the same day. So that's pretty much that team in a nutshell. Again, within striking distance, I think there's a chance I could win this league, but there's also just some offensive teams that are stacked. My team has a lot of upstart guys on it this year, so Haniger not coming out of nowhere, but really taking that step forward, that needs to continue. Max Muncy, who I traded for, he will contribute on this team regardless, because just pure walks is one of the categories. And then, you know, some fringer guys like Jock Peterson, Josh Reddick, guys that are, and Mitch Moreland, guys that contribute, but, you know, they could fall off a little bit. Justin Bour as well. So I'm excited about this one. I've worked a lot on this team, and I think I'm in striking distance here, and I think I could get it done, but... Anyway, if you have any suggestions there on that trade, let me know. So moving back over to my Fantrax page here that I've got up. I'll go back. All my other leagues are in Fantrax right now. So I've got the one CBS Dynasty League, and then all of my other five leagues are on Fantrax. Love Fantrax. They've been improving their product, and they're especially on mobile this year. And... you know, I'm a huge supporter. The main reason being that they're not some huge corporation that is just trying to make money off fantasy sports. They're actually people that play fantasy sports themselves and are really just trying to help further the industry and bring out a superior product. And I'm all in on Fantrax moving forward. Excuse the blinker as I turn on to Highland. Anyway, that's my Fantrax, little segue there. Anyway, sorry about that. Moving forward, we can get into the other dynasty leagues I'm in. So, I'm going to jump into the real fake dynasty. So the real fake Baseball Podcast. This is their Upstart Dynasty League this year. Hosts are Paul Martin and Walter McMichael. Both have moved over to Friends with Fantasy Benefits. You can find their podcast here. And I'm glad to have them on the team. I'm sure the rest of the team is as well. It's a great podcast, great guys, and I've really enjoyed chatting with them and really enjoyed playing in their new Dynasty League they've got here. So I'll tell you a little bit about what happened in this league from the draft. It was interesting, to say the least. So again, Upstart Dynasty League, this is with a lot of like good prospect guys. Ralph Lifshitz is in this league. Lance Brozdowski is in this league. The two podcast hosts. A couple of the guys from the Ditka Fantasy Sports Podcast, Ditka Sausage Fantasy Sports Podcast, and I'm sure I'm missing some other guys. Prospect Fiend. Sorry, let me just go to the standings here, and I'll read off who else is in this league, because it's another competitive one, and it's been a lot of fun. Batflip Crazy is in this league. Freeze Framer. Max Freeze. Let's see. Going through here. Now that I'm looking at the team names, I'm having a hard time remembering who is who associated. Barry Baker. If you listen to any Dynasty podcast, you've heard that name before. Lucas Beery, I think is his... I hope I pronounced that correctly. He's also in this league, a very good player as well. So, anyway, moving on to where I was talking about the draft here. Sorry, getting off track, getting back on track. So the draft, I went in and I had, I think, the 14th pick in this league too, but this is a 20-team league. So, man, this was a tough one. But at the 14th pick of a Dynasty League, all of the top names were gone, obviously. And so I decided I'm going to try and go the rebuilding route. And I took Acuna with my first overall pick at 14th. I took him ahead of, let me see here, pulling up the draft results. Took him ahead of Cody Bellinger, who went after that. Francisco Lindor, Clayton Kershaw, Byron Buxton, those were the next picks. Andrew Benintendi, Corey Kluber, Alex Bregman, Gary Sanchez, and Freddie Freeman. So those are the picks in between. I picked Freddie Freeman with my second overall pick. So I probably should have went Lindor here, and the reason I didn't was because I had Lindor in three leagues already out of my my four other drafts that I had done so far. So looking back, I probably should have done that, but I decided to go the rebuilding route. No one ahead of me had taken a prospect. So my goal was to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with my second round pick. And I'm sorry, it didn't scroll over all the way when I was looking. Excuse me. So I think Vlad and Eloy went in between my picks. And when that happened, there was no other prospect that I was like, I'm spending a second round pick on them. So I took Freddie Freeman, who definitely isn't, I wouldn't say Freddie Freeman is young, but you know, he's young enough to where the investment is worth in a Dynasty League right now. He's going to be good for the foreseeable future. And, at that point, when I thought my contention window was 2 to 3 years down the line, I thought he would still be a positive asset to my team, or someone that I could trade off in between there. So the draft continues on, and the young guys continue to fall off the draft board. And at this point, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to make the pivot and start just picking up assets. JD Martinez fell all the way to my third round pick, which if I load this up here, I can see what number. Let's go to by team, and let's scroll down to my team here as I park. This is going to be a two-parter. This was the first part on the way in to work, and I'll record the second half as I head home today. So let me just finish this up here as I am now parked. Scrolling down. And I believe, of course, I named my team with a Y. Young Smata Industries is my team name here, so I'm at the end. So again, Ronald Acuna, 14th overall. Freddie Freeman, 27th overall. JD Martinez came at the 54th overall pick. So at that point, I had made the full pivot. I'm going to have to play for this year. JD Martinez, yeah, I'm hoping we get 2 to 3 good years out of him, but in 2 to 3 years, I don't know what JD Martinez is going to be. There's been injuries throughout his career, and I think that in a dynasty league, if you have him, you better be trying to compete right now or looking to move him, because this is the height of his value. So moving past there, I got Carlos Martinez in the 4th round, 67th overall, as my young starting pitcher that I invested in. He's definitely had ups and downs. He was injured for a bit and then I guess came back a little bit early, but overall he's been good enough, serviceable. But then again, I made another older player investment that fell very, very far. Picked up Justin Verlander, 94th overall. So with that base, JD Martinez at 54, Justin Verlander at 94, and then pairing with Freddie Freeman and Carlos Martinez in a 20-team league, I had set a pretty good base for competing. The only problem was Ronald Acuna. So I immediately put him on the trade block after this draft took place. It took a little while to move him, but I did. And I moved him for Carlos Correa, who I actually had him ranked ahead of Acuna in my preseason draft board, and at the time still had him ranked ahead of in my dynasty rankings, my personal dynasty rankings, not that they're out there yet, but that's something I'm hoping to do here. Is put out maybe a top 500 dynasty rankings or something like that. So traded Acuna for Correa, which gave me a very, very solid young piece to move forward with. Obviously, he hasn't had the greatest year and is currently injured. But I still really like Correa's long-term value. I think he is a 300 hitter. I think he's going to be a perennial 30 to 40 home run asset and hit in that Astros lineup, the middle of that, for years to come. I'm really excited about Correa still. Some duds out of that draft, Bradley Zimmer, Austin Barnes, both are guys I took a little high, but then I got Blake Snell, 187 overall. Aaron Hicks at 214 has been a great value. Kyle Schwarber was my 7th round pick, 134 overall. Garrett Richards, unfortunately, is down for the year. Danny Duffy has been, he's been up and down, and, you know, he's been okay, though. Mike Clevenger I'd picked up and traded away. Jake Bowers is someone who I drafted 307th overall, and just so happy with how he's performed so far. I'm really excited for his future. He's someone I'm buying in all dynasty leagues right now, 100%. And I forgot to mention that this dynasty league is an OBP league, which I'm currently leading that category in. So skipping ahead, sorry, I kind of buried the lead here. I am 4th overall in this league right now. I've made a lot of trades, a lot of moves, mostly focused around getting saves because I did not draft one closer. They were just going at a value that I couldn't justify at the time during the draft. And I thought I would pick them up throughout the year. And I've had the same, I don't want to call it bad luck because I think some of it's bad judgment, but yeah, I'll just call it bad judgment on who was going to obtain closer roles, who to invest in throughout the year. So I've now traded for four different closers, and I think that I'm in a prime position to move forward, but I've traded away a lot of assets to obtain those. So I've definitely traded away my future to make that happen. Peter Alonso, Austin Beck, Jeter Downs, some guys that I'm really high on. It's kind of unfortunate I've had to trade them, but that's the kind of stuff you have to do in order to compete. If you choose to compete in a dynasty league, do it. Don't go halfway. If you go halfway, you're going to lose. Plain and simple. So, you know, make those moves and compete. That's all I got to say. Or you better be trading away those old assets like the JD Martinez's, like the Justin Verlander's, to build for your future. Your job is to build a juggernaut team that is going to win the league. It's not to build a semi-good team that is going to compete every single year and come in third or fourth. That is not your job. Your job is to win. So anyway, that's my spiel about dynasty leagues. Go full way or not at all. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up for the real fake dynasty league here. And I'm going to put in a break at this point. So I hope you have enjoyed so far, and I'll see you on the ride home.
You're listening to the Commute Podcast with Smata. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Commute Podcast. I'm on my way home from work, and I've just hopped onto the 2 freeway headed north out of Los Angeles, the Glendale Freeway. And from there, I'll connect on to the 210 and head east for about another hour. Anyway, let's get back to talking some fantasy baseball. I've covered 4 of my teams out of my 6 so far, 2 redrafts, 2 dynasties I've covered. I'm about to cover 2 more. The one that I'm going to jump into here is the Ditka Sausage Fantasy Sports podcast startup dynasty league. It's a 15-team league, 5x5 standard there. And the thing that was non-standard about this was the draft type, which it wasn't a draft at all. It was an auction, and it was a slow auction at that. So it was my first time doing that slow auction. It was a blast, and I highly suggest it for any type of league format, really, for picking your players initially. It was a lot of fun, a long process, but, you know, just like a slow draft, a long process, but you're constantly looking at it and seeing how the bids are evolving throughout the day for like 2 weeks, and it's pretty crazy just to keep track of the landscape of the bids, etc. So I'm hoping to do more of that next year. Really enjoyed it here, and actually the next one that I'll talk about, the 12-team Friends of Fantasy Benefits Startup Dynasty that we start up just with a few of us there. We decided to go with that slow auction draft format as well. So anyway, I actually wrote up a couple articles on this on Friends of Fantasy Benefits and kind of covered my draft strategy or auction strategy, that is, and really what my strategy was heading into this dynasty league. So, you know, I'll cover that a little bit here, but long or the short of it was I decided to go the tank route. I was really intrigued by Tom Trudeau's tanking in the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational League, the RDI that started up this year pretty early in the offseason, actually. And so I was definitely influenced by that. I went with a little bit different spin. I didn't go straight like Acuna, Vlad, etc. But I did go all under 24, the age of 24 years old, for the guys that I targeted, with a bid of over $1 at least. I did fill in the holes with some older guys that I figured I'd churn throughout this year and the next. And if they got hot, I would try and trade them off. And Yeah, so I'll just run through a few of the names. I picked up Bryce Harper. Again, this is a 15-team league. Bryce Harper, Carlos Correa, and Francisco Lindor. Three first-round talents, essentially, at least at the time. We can argue about their draft position next year at a later time. But basically three superstars is what I decided to pick up there out of the auction, which left me with definitely a smaller budget for the rest. I went with prospects that had kind of solidified their major league status in Rafael Devers. And I had also picked up Bradley Zimmer in that league, which, you know, hindsight 2020, wish I wouldn't have made as many good investments there. I'm going to go off on a slight tangent here. I was going over and reviewing the list of most owned players across these six leagues, and the most players I owned across the six leagues was three, so and that was for a handful of players, one of them being Bradley Zimmer. Honestly, the list looked good outside of Bradley Zimmer, so I was pretty satisfied with it. But, you know, the one thing I was thinking about is, you know, in redraft, and I think, I can't remember who had mentioned this, it was probably Walter McMichael there with Real Fake, was talking about, you know, I'd rather have him in a redraft league at least because you would have been able to drop him and move on. But in a dynasty league, you've got to hold on to him. You can't drop him. And in this league and in the Real Fake Dynasty where I have Bradley Zimmer, I can't move him back into my minor league spots because he's already past the minor league limits. So he's essentially taking up a bench spot that's useful, especially in the Real Fake Dynasty. In this league, it's not as useful to me because, honestly, I'm building assets for the future. With the tank job, I decided to play for 2 years out. So 2020 will be the year that I'm really pushing for the championship. And, you know, I the more I thought about it, I was thinking, well, you know, am I sad about having Bradley Zimmer in this league? And not really. I wouldn't be surprised if I end up going after Bradley Zimmer in redraft next year and in dynasties again if I'm in any upstart dynasty drafts next year, because he's going to come at a much discounted price. And, you know, I think that's probably where the investment should have been, especially in the one we just talked about, the Real Fake Dynasty. I top 200 pick on actually, it was close to 100th overall I spent on Bradley Zimmer because of the youth, because of the stolen base upside, and, you know, his power upside too. Lights up Statcast, hits the ball hard when he does make contact, and really the issue is making that contact and getting it off the ground. So, you know, we'll see with Bradley Zimmer. But going back to this, my team in the Dicka Sausage Dynasty League here. So I mentioned I have those three superstar type players filled, really 24-year-old and below around them. So Rafael Devers, which I mentioned, Jake Bowers has already come up and is filling in nicely again in this league. But I've also got Peter Alonso in this league, so we'll see who ends up in my first base spot moving forward. I traded for Brian Anderson. I actually traded Shane Bieber for Brian Anderson, which I think on the surface doesn't look all that great. But I actually, you know, I like Shane Bieber, and I've got a couple shares of him. But I also like Brian Anderson. I think he's going to bring a very solid batting average base. He's hitting .288 right now, and he was up over .300 at a point this year. He's got 8 home runs and 2 stolen bases, so we're looking at 10 combined. But, you know, he's getting on base, and he's scored 55 runs already, has 49 RBIs. It's a solid counting stat guy, and you need these kind of fill-in guys in a 15-man roster. I have him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational as well, and he's been in my third base slot pretty much all year on a team that is contending. So I also picked up Michael Conforto in this league. At the time, he was still injured. They didn't know when he was coming back. He went for a perfect pairing with a tanking team. He came at a discount. I'm willing to wait, you know, if he doesn't come back full this year, but, you know, make strides a year, 2 years from now, and comes on back on with his power surge and becomes, you know, a top 50 asset, I've gotten a huge bargain here. Some other investments, Manny Margot, I don't think that's really panned out. It definitely hasn't panned out as I thought. I know I was listening to the RotoWire Dynasty podcast with James Anderson, Clay Link, and James Anderson's still high on Manny Margot. made me feel a little bit better about it. But, you know, personally, I drafted him for speed with, you know, the 2020 upside is what you're chasing here. And with Margot, he's just not a good base dealer. And that's, it's killing me. I've also have him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, and he's like got a 50% success rate right now. I think he's 7-for-14 or 7-for-13, something like that at this point. He's not even on pace to steal 20. So again, this is a guy that I think will be a decent buy low next year, but I don't even know if I'll get in because I'm not in love with the skills profile, and I wish I would have maybe did a little bit more homework on him going into the season, but I don't think anyone imagined him performing in his first half the way he has. So moving on, the other players that I invested in here, Victor Robles, Willie Calhoun. Again, Willie Calhoun, his ISO is gone in AAA. I don't know if he's nursing an injury or what, but he hasn't had a 15-game stretch of ISO over 200 his entire AAA season, and that is extremely concerning to me. I would have liked to see at least like 1-2-week stretch where he hits 3 home runs. That just hasn't even happened yet. So, you know, he may come up and he may perform well. Again, he's going to be in Texas. That's a good hitting environment, but I don't know. Texas doesn't like his defense at all. It is beyond fathomable to me why they traded for him if they didn't think that his defense was going to be serviceable. It blows my mind how they've handled Willie Calhoun and why they even traded for him, honestly. Hit me up if you have better insight into that than I do, because that one's beyond my comprehension. Also have Austin Riley that I invested in, I think, for a dollar out of the auction. I mean, a dollar or two. And he's just another one of those guys that I'm really excited about. Has definitely risen up prospect ranks. Going into my minors, you know, I've stashed some guys that I'm interested in. They're maybe not amazing names, but Shed Long, picked up Josh Rojas, the Houston player that's really just skyrocketed up. I think he started in high A now, I believe. No, he started in low A and is already up to double A this year. You should go check out Josh Rojas if you don't know that name. I'd gotten Michael Chavis before the PED suspension got handed out. So, you know, I've been holding on to him all year. I don't really think that his long-term outlook is really any different. Nothing changed who he was. He still is going to hit the ball hard, I think. Hopefully the PED suspension doesn't hamper his mind long-term, I guess. Maybe there's a better way to put that, but anyway, still mildly interested in Chavis, and he wasn't really droppable here, and his trade value was in the gutter. So still holding on to him. Have also picked up Evan Mendoza. He's Cardinals third baseman. I know Matt Thompson is all over him. And moving forward, Nick Prado, Monte Harrison, Jamai Jones, I have actually traded for in this league. I believe I traded Caleb Smith straight up for Jamai Jones, and that was before Caleb Smith's injury. Definitely like that investment. Jeter Downs, I have here. Austin Beck, Taylor Trammell, I'm really excited about. I made a pretty decent investment in the draft for Taylor Trammell. Wander Franco, I got for, I believe, a dollar in this league. Really, really happy to be holding him. Looking forward to seeing him at higher level competition, but those play skills are through the roof. Strikeout rate below 10% so far in rookie ball as a 17-year-old. Extremely impressive. Tristan Lutz, DJ Peters, and Francisco Mejia. I think he was actually my first auction win during that auction, and you know, I basically have stopgaps at catchers, Tucker Barnhart and Mitch Garver right now. We'll see how catcher plays out moving forward. And then on the pitching side, sorry, kind of running long on this one, but I basically went all $1 pitchers except for, I think I made a $5 investment in Denilson Lamet, unfortunately. And then Also, put some money on Corbin Burns. Only, I think it was $2 on Corbin Burns. Really high on Corbin Burns. If you don't know, I go through my Twitter feed or search just Smata Corbin Burns, and there's going to be a lot of tweets that come up. the $1 plays that have panned out so far, Mike Fulton-Nevich and Tyler Molly have been good ads and serviceable in 15-team leagues for sure. Fulton-Nevich is top 25 starting pitcher right now, I think, top 30. Also, someone had dropped Michael Wacha at some point, so I scooped him up just for a little bit of investment long term. Hopefully he bounces back and I can trade him. Some other guys. Alex Cobb, unfortunately, still have him on this team. I should probably churn out a couple of these pitchers, and I think that's really the takeaway that I've kind of noticed and that I'm going to share with you is, it, out of all of the leagues, this is the one I'm the least active in, and I think it's kind of on purpose, right? I my job out of the draft that I decided on was to tank, and I've really done that. I'm in last place in this league, and that's by design. I drafted a ton of minor league talent. Some of them have come up. I actually don't think I mentioned that I also have Gleyber Torres and Franchi Cordero on this team. And I completely shaded pitching. So my pitching staff has been horrible. So obviously I'm losing all of the ratio stats on the pitching side, losing all the counting stats on the hitting side. And I'm not guaranteed the first overall pick by tanking. We're actually doing like an NBA-style draft lottery. So at the very least, I'll have the most ping pong balls. So we'll see how this turns out moving into next year. I'm still pretty optimistic with this team 2 years down the road, 2020. But I'm definitely going to try and be a little bit more active on the waiver wire. I think that's my one regret with this team. I've missed out on a couple prospects that have come up. You know, like a Freddy Peralta or a De Los Santos that on the pitching side, I should have added a lot earlier, and they were scooped up. So, you know, moving forward, going to try and be a little bit more active next year on the waiver wire early on. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, moving on to my last team, and I briefly mentioned the name already. It's the Friends of Fantasy Benefits 12-team, and it was the slow auction format again. So currently in the standings, I am third with 88 points. The leader has 105, and right in front of me with 90 points is Randy Haynes. And right below me, there's a team with 87 points. So there's this really, right now it's a race for second place. And this is another league where I initially drafted lots and lots and lots or won bids for during the auction, lots and lots of prospects. They were just going so cheap relative to what I viewed as their asset price. And for this one, I really thought that I would be tanking 1 year and then really going after it next year. Well, what it turned out was that I won bids on an offense that is just been really, really solid to this point. And then I just decided to go hard on streaming pitchers and picking up those upstart guys, you know, the ones I just mentioned, the Beavers, the De Los Santos and Freddy Peralta. And I ended up actually trading a good amount of my minor league assets for starting top flight starting pitchers. I traded Juan Soto straight up for Max Scherzer, and I did this about a month in, maybe a month and a half into the season, when I realized that I had a real shot at winning. This is a save and hold league. That's the only quirk with the scoring, typical 5x5 after that. And I didn't draft any closers. I knew that I would be able to compete just by streaming relief pitchers that are great holders. And so I've been able to be competitive in that category, as well as stream to keep up with the Ks and wins. And so at that point, I was middling in the ratios, and I saw that opportunity to trade for a Scherzer. And then I also traded away, Bobichet, Peter Alonso, and one other prospect, blanking on it now, for Noah Syndergaard. So picked up two top flight starting pitchers to pair with what has actually been a pretty solid squad that I've been able to just accumulate over time in the rotation. A Tyler Skaggs, a Joe Musgrove, Ross Stripling, Kyle Gibson has actually been decent, Kenta Maeda, Vince Velasquez. My big downfall, especially in the beginning, was Marcus Stroman. He's the only pitcher that I invested in. And if you look at from the pitching side, the two auctions that I decided to do this year, startup auctions for Dynasty Leagues, I invested in two different pitchers and both of them got hurt. it's just funny how that works, and kind of not proof of concept really, but just kind of shows how, like, I would much rather place my assets in the bats than I would the arms in Dynasty Leagues, especially in those auction formats. You see the top flight starting pitchers go for a lot. I think Scherzer, I think, went for around $40 in this league. I think it was a $300, $400 budget. Blanking on the details a little bit there, but I traded a Juan Soto straight up for Scherzer. Juan Soto cost me, I don't know, $2 at the draft. And yes, he's a special case because no one goes from low A to the major leagues like he did, but that's just one case. I got Peter Alonso for $1 at draft day. Noah Syndergaard probably went for around $35. Who else did I say that I traded for Syndergaard? Excuse me. I'm blanking out again. But, Bo Bichette. Yeah, I think I got him for $3. If you're adding up the draft day cost to obtain what was the draft day cost for the pitchers, for the guys, you know, Scherzer and Syndergaard were both on teams that are now looking to build up for next year in this 12-team league. Huge surplus at the end of the day. So, anyway, I'm the funny thing is I've traded away four really, really good prospects, and I'm still holding Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Jesus Sanchez, Taylor Trammell, and then I had also in this league, I believe I have, do I have Gleyber in this league too? Yep, Gleyber Torres in this league as well. Ronald Acuna in this league. And then my base is Chris Bryant, Francisco Lindor, and then the older stolen base investment that I made, D. Gordon. In this league, I've made, you know, the trades that I've mentioned. I also just traded away to get Chris Bryant. Who did I trade away? Clint Frazier and Shane Bieber. Again, I traded away Shane Bieber. And what's funny is I like Shane Bieber, but he is a starting pitcher that is a rookie who has shown a little bit of success his first time through the league. And it isn't even amazing success. And yes, he has one standout skill, but this might actually be Shane Bieber's peak value. Is he Josh Tomlin? That's a question that you have to answer for yourself. I think he's going to be better than that. And I'm still interested in Shane Bieber, but you take the assets that you have and you say, is this going to get better? Is this going to get worse? Is this the best this player's, you know, perceived value going to be? It's really all about perception of a player at a given time. And can you maximize the value out of that player? And so I think I've done that in Shane Bieber in a couple of leagues. So Chris Davis, I needed RBIs. I'm fighting for, I'm still fighting for first place, but definitely for second here. That's where the bunching is. About, I think, 25 points behind first in this league. But, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I could talk a little bit more about a couple players, but I know I'm going pretty long at this point. I think I'm about an hour. So I'm going to wrap it up. I hope you guys enjoyed this first episode. I hope you bear with me. This is my first time doing a solo podcast, so feedback is welcome. Again, this is Friends with Fantasy Benefits. This is Smata. You can reach me at Smata_BB on Twitter. at Fantasy Benefits for Friends with Fantasy Benefits on Twitter. And yeah, hope you guys have a good commute if you're listening to this on yours. I'll talk to you guys later.